And coming your way next on the Huff Archives, or perhaps if you're listening to the original Thursday night, July 28th show, it's the Net Show. This is going to be about 2 hours long, as usual, unless I get extended or get really tired. And it features some interviews from the Beachlands, from the Benchlands that we did. Gosh, it was last Monday, as we attempted to figure out what people there were experiencing, what they're being told by police, what the supposed deadline, if there was a deadline, for moving out, as City Mangler Matt Huffaker has so told folks, or told the city council and the community, is what he is aiming for. And that should be, well, rumors were spreading that it was going to be July 30th or August 1st or July 31st or whenever. We didn't find any testimony or alarm about that, although we didn't do a really voluminous survey. So we actually just set up a table, gave out some flyers, advised people as to what to say and do. I'll be talking about that, and you'll actually be hearing some of the interviews on the show, as well as other stuff yet to be concocted. So stay with me.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So today's show is going to be kind of a Benchland special with lots of interviews from the 2 days I went down there. Today, the 28th of July, 2022, and then Monday, which I guess was the 24th, no, the 23rd, when two Huffsters and I, Gloria and Kevin, went down to set up a table to distribute flyers, to sign people up who might be interested in challenging any unlawful orders to move with the anticipated clearing of the Benchlands, which City Mangler Matt Huffaker has threatened at the end of the summer, or maybe at the end of July. One can never be sure what the hell is going on. And also to get some sense of what's going on down in the Benchlands generally for folks living down there. And this sort of is where we start. We set up a table. You're going to hear right at the very edge of the Benchlands, or in the very sort of entrance of the Benchlands from Water Street, when you walk down from Water Street, which is between the San Lorenzo River and the county building, the entire Benchlands, of course. And it's, you'll hear me describing it. You'll hear other people talking about it. It's been seriously compacted, and is, at least when I was down there on Monday, although they begun demolishing camps, they removed several camps today, Thursday the 28th, over the objections of the campers who were living there, just telling them to move, not giving them a place to go, according to the campers. I haven't had a chance to chat with any officials or with Jeremy Leonard, who kind of was looking on, at least through some of the incident, I understand, but perhaps I'll get a report from him. He's relatively closed-mouthed about this, doesn't like publicity around this issue, afraid he's going to be misquoted or criticized. I certainly level a lot of criticism for the authorities he represents or he tends to act for or gets paid for. But I also try to moderate my criticism with respect to him, although I'm not the moderate kind of guy as far as talking. You can't have a moderate, true situation. It's either true or it's false. Anyway, let's listen in on some of the Monday interviews and some of my monologue in there. So it's about 10 after 10 on July 25th. There are two CSOs and three cops and Jeremy Leonard in the campground. And so it's not the 23rd, it's the 25th. Sorry about that. In the Benchlands, I'm here setting up a table to offer literature and petitions. And we actually didn't get the petition out, but we did get kind of a sign-up list of people who might want to be plaintiffs in a lawsuit defending their right to be in the Benchlands until such time as they have been given a decent place to live elsewhere, even an indecent place, at least secure from police harassment. And we will launch now into our first interview.
We're talking with...
Hi, my name is Carrie.
Are you a resident of this area?
Unfortunately, yes.
And how long have you been here, Carrie? And what, account for yourself, please.
Okay, I've been here December 7th, 2020.
Wow.
And it's now July 29th.
Did you relocate from the upper grounds to the lower grounds?
Yes, I did.
And you were protected originally by the initial injunction, which was gotten a week after
that
point.
Yes, I remember that, yep.
And then the injunction was dissolved the next year in the summer, that was last year, and the city has left the campground kind of alone, but there have
been
threats.
Not really. Every single day up on the bike levee, there are police that come and kind of try to intimidate the people here. I mean, for a good reason, I suppose, because there is a lot of activity down here that goes unnoticed that should be brought to the attention of the authorities. You know, and realistically, a lot of the time when people do keep to themselves and kind of, you know, abide by some of the laws, they don't have a reason to come down here and poke around.
Well, I did see five cops patrol. There aren't five cops. We can see them right now. They've been here for an hour standing in the middle. And they don't seem to be doing much. Kevin, you were closer to that. Did you see them?
I asked, I said, so what's the rumor has it there's going to be a sweep through here with bulldozers and skip loaders and, you know, knocking stuff down, and no one would say anything. I asked them, it's above your pay grade.
Now, did you see any bulldozers and skip loaders?
Above my pay grade, right?
Did you see any of these today?
No.
Stop the sweeps!
Yeah, it's not. The rumors fly, and everyone's got a different date. The place is going to be demolished. Everyone.
And I want to hear. I want to hear more about that too. But let me. This potential lawsuit person is interested. Of course she is. She's younger. She's more attractive.
Exactly.
She's a resident.
Yeah. That's the biggest. It's you on the ground here.
So I've been 10 toes in since a lot of this started, unfortunately.
How has it changed since you began?
It's kind of actually gotten worse. I think the people here since the beginning, when it first started to help us here, that we were all given the same amount of space. They had allocated the same amount of space for each of us. They had given us all the same tent, so there was no fighting, and there was no boasting, and there was no show and tell as to who could get a better tent or who had more money and who this and that, but it was so that we were all given the same.
But that didn't last long.
Unfortunately, it didn't. But I actually found it quite peaceful, you know. But back then we were on different. We were on quarantine orders from the government. We were on a mandatory quarantine, self isolation kind of. Protocol down here. We were asked to stay in our tent, our one-person tent, and to remain in our space that they gave us. That actually worked for quite some time, because then there was no real reason to fight over, oh, well, your space is bigger than mine, or your tent looks better than mine.
Looking at the last 3 months, how would you compare, how has it been going for you the last 3 months?
Personally, for me, I don't know. I've had to kind of stand my ground, you know. I feel like I've been tempted, like there have been temptations in my path that have definitely led me away from where I've been.
Drugs or something else?
No, no. I mean, like, literally on the grounds of where my possessions are and my belongings. Like, I feel like there have been many attempts to get me to leave my things, so that, or my place, so that somebody else could come in and take advantage of all the hard work that I put into my particular space. And you know, or somebody, you know, just kind of conning me out of some things that are quite valuable or sentimental, and or just others just taking whatever they want. You
this
know?
Is more prevalent in the last 3 months than.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is. It's been recent, more recent.
Now, there's been an influx of people in the last 3 months.
There has. There's been a huge fluctuation. With there are tons more people down here within the last week. The last 7 days, they've managed to put more people in a closer, smaller, tighter spots, you know what I mean? Like, we're being caged.
Have you formed connections with your neighbors in the camp that have enhanced your security or your community in any way?
Honestly, I mean, since the very beginning, the area that I've been at since I moved down here to the benchlands. I've been here before that. They had evacuated us during the winter. Over to the parking garage across the street, and then from there over to Depot Park, and then other people have been moved to River Street, and you know, kind of all over the place. But I've kind of tried to stay back where I originally started, back down here. And
are you in the same location you were when you moved from the upper park to the lower park? Or
yeah,
pretty much
essentially, yes. I'm within the same radius, the same 50-yard radius of where I originally
Are you
started.
A single woman living alone, or do you have a companion or a
No,
group
I'm
of
I'm a single woman living alone, and I'm surrounded by men.
And friendly men, hostile men?
There's a couple hostile, jealous type men that
lascivious men.
Yeah, quite jealous, I would say.
Of your possessions or of your body?
Well, yeah, they have this lifestyle. The image of the lifestyle of the rich and the famous, to where they can feel that they have entitlement to tell me what I can and can't do with my body, or who I can and can't have around my body. So it's like...
And your reaction to that is you whip out your judo and tell them to fuck off?
Pretty much, yeah, that's about it. You hit the nail on the head with that one.
You're successful with this?
No, unfortunately I'm not.
But you're going to become successful.
I need well-versed lessons to do this. I believe that...
Perhaps an M1 would be helpful.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. That would definitely be nice. It would be a little bit of encouragement.
Here's a couple that signed up for the lawsuit, or what she did, I don't know about her. So I'm interested, I'm kind of gathering a few names for a potential, if the Union of the Homeless, which I'm not too active in, but I'm always barking at their heels, they did this injunction, as you know, before. Mm. Anthony Prince put it together, but they haven't done anything since.
Yeah.
Except, I guess, a cease and desist order was what Alicia Poole tried to get. Requested it, or I guess they sent it to the city manager or the city attorney, I'm not sure. But that doesn't have any legal force. It hasn't gone to court. I don't know if it has legal force or not, actually. But the idea of actually getting enough people who are interested in being plaintiffs to say, we don't want to move unless we have a decent place to go to, stop threatening us, maybe give us, as you say, decent space and so forth. Are you interested in that?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, I kind of started my venture here at the San Lorenzo Benchlands with the intention that I actually was trying to relocate and start over, you know? So I've never had to camp out at a park to have shelter provided for me, you know. I think that a lot of my personal relationships have kind of been put back into question, just because the willingness of the member or the relative or the loved one that still questions why I choose this lifestyle for myself. You know, because I don't know that answer, unfortunately. There's a connection here that I just can't sever. It's not necessarily freer. I feel a more earthly connection here. It's quite strange how I can't exactly quite put my thumb on it, because it's not exactly a thumbnail that you could just
but
have way
but
with.
It is
but
a definite force.
There's an earth. earthly force that I have a connection with here that I'm not willing to sever quite yet.
And is that connected with any of the people here?
It could very well be. It could very well be a community lost in translation and years of historical revenue. I don't know. It could be a lot of different things. It could be a lot of different input into how other people would feel an earthy connection to the people here.
Any hassles with the police or authorities here?
Personally, thank God I haven't really had any personal issues that I've needed to have any kind of authority contact or police contact. Not on my behalf, anyway. It's,
What's the status of women in this camp? You've already mentioned your own personal struggle, but
yeah.
Do you have any broader comments about other women you know here?
About other broads? A broad comment about the broads the women here are very vicious, okay? We are very vicious.
Forceful?
No, not forceful. I would not be able to say forceful. We are a force to be reckoned with, yes, but I do believe that the women here are ferocious and we are vicious. We have to be because we're constantly... Unfortunately, I do believe that there are one too many young lads or young girls that think to test the waters with some of the older, experienced females because they have nothing else better to do. You know, if you go and sleep with one of these women's man, you're going to find out about it, and you're going to find out about it the hard way because you're stupid enough not to have known that yourself, you know. So if you go and make that mistake, then, you know, it's a mistake. You either know or you don't know, you know.
There's a lot of monogamy here that happens.
There's a lot of polyamory here as well. So it's kind of hard to tell because sometimes the men, they choose to be cowards and not tell this young gal that just happened to come through and they have nothing else better to do. Oh yeah, you need a cigarette? Oh, let me help you. And then here comes the wife out and what the fuck are you talking to this bitch for? What the hell is wrong with you?
It's playing
and
around.
Then she,
it's not
yes.
Really consensual polyamory.
No, not necessarily. It's not, we're not, what is that word?
Commune or
exactly. We are not full of polyamorous, in agreement, polyamorous compound.
Not a group marriage or consensual pseudo marriage or whatever.
No. No, I don't think so. But, you know, they're again, like I said, it's something about a lifestyle choice. A lot of the men around here seem to have this impression that it's not a religious practice that they can... stay atoned with having more than one woman to entertain their thoughts or their pocketbook or their means of entertainment.
They need variety. We need variety, man. I mean, woman, you know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean...
Needing a variety and actually having a various amount of visual aid can be different than actually having the entertainment being something physical to be sufficed with. You know, you can entertain yourself with the variety that you see, but that you behind closed doors in privacy you enjoy with your partner. You know, like I think that that's how life is supposed
How's
to be.
How's illness in the camp? Have you been?
I think it's very, very real. I think that people are very irresponsible.
Hey,
I think that they don't express enough concern about the people around them because they dispose of their needles wherever. Couple people down the way maybe yelling for Narcan and people are like, shut the fuck up, you know, or you hear people fighting every single day over the same thing and you can't see the adult remove themselves from the situation. You see them go at it all the time and it's like, yeah, you gotta stand your ground at some point, and maybe instead of it constantly being revisited as an idea that you have to constantly feel like you're repeating yourself like over and over and over and over, and there's no compromise, there's no compromise, there's nothing, there's just more fighting.
I see a bunch of police standing halfway through the camp.
Is
that a regular occurrence? And if so, what's
No, that's not a regular occurrence, not something that I witnessed anyway. That I typically stick to myself, I stay in my area, and I don't really come out here very often. I don't think I've ever sat at the helm of the lane down here and just looked down the bench lane.
You're always
I appreciate your invitation. I do. I know. I remember when the grass was too high, you couldn't even ride your bike through here. Mm-hmm. And now you can see straight through right down yonder and farther and farther.
It's a dusty situation, for sure.
It could be.
There are sharps disposals,
and that's a crying shame, to be perfectly honest with you, that they would feel the need to put one next to a children's playground, maybe near a public bathroom, that would be suffice, but a children's playground, that says something. I've never seen that in my entire life, and that broke my heart, because, you know, you think about maybe some of these children that have type 2 gestational diabetes and they need the insulin, and you've got a Sharps disposal next to a children's playground. Like, really, is that the reason why it's there? Or that's not the reason why it's there, but that's why I have to make the question, that bring that question to the table and really answer that for myself
before you get called away. The original reason I asked you, aside from the interview, is you want me to take your information so I can contact you in the event that we actually get somebody.
Find some news? Sure. I would love that.
Well, let me turn this sucker off and write down the news.
There's
your name.
Carrie. Here. I'll get you.
Print it out. Pretend that I can't read my 3-year-old.
Okay.
And phone number or email or tent where we can reach you.
Oh, okay.
At location. How do we know what C2 tent is?
Well, that's just my area. So, okay, you see where the red spot is on top of the white tarp right there under the tree?
Spot on the white tarp.
Red spot up top on the roof?
I see.
Red spot?
And we finally did get Carrie's name right and signed her up, although I don't think she has a phone, so we may have to locate her by tent. And since there is concern among the campers and some evidence today of the tents beginning to be removed between the entranceway to the campground at Water Street and the first stairway going down from the courthouse, her tent may be hard to find, or it may be demolished or moved by the time we get back to her. If the Union of the Homeless and the ACLU ever get around to filing an injunction to stop the demolition of tents that's going on now, piecemeal, peck by peck. Anyway, here's some more from the Monday tabling. So you're about to hear an old song, an old folk song from the Weavers, or at least sung by the Weavers, called Senna, Senna, Senna. And I'm going to let you know in advance the lyrics, since they're all in, I think it's either Hebrew or Yiddish. Senna, 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 can't you hear the music playing in the city square? Senna, 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 come where all our friends will find us with the dancers there. Senna, Senna, join the celebration. There'll be people there from every nation. Dawn will find us laughing in the sunlight, dancing in the city square. Senna, Senna, come and dance the hora. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the boys will envy me for Senna, Senna, when the band is playing, my heart saying Senna, Senna, Senna. Senna, 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 can you hear the music playing in the city square? Senna, 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 come where all our friends will find us with all the dancers there. And there's a repeat of that chorus, and then another repeat of that chorus, and a third repeat of that chorus. I think it looks like a fourth repeat. And finally, Senna, Senna, come and dance the hora. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the boys will envy me for Senna, Senna, when the band is playing, my heart, Senna, Senna, Senna.
Senna, 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 חיילים במשאבה, אל נא, אל נתתכוונה, מי בן חייל לסבא. צנא, 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 צנא,
tena 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 tena. Tena 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 tena.
Well, it's around 10:30. I'm talking with
Thomas Pierce.
And Thomas, your name is suddenly familiar. Right on. So you've signed up for a potential, if we can ever get anything going, a lawsuit. You live in the camp, and you have some concerns about, well, some history too. What's going on?
Well, basically, when it first started off, I was on parole. I just got released from prison, and they placed me in the shelter. I immediately got a job.
Which shelter?
At the homeless shelter down here on Coral.
How was that?
It was okay. It was all right. It was no complaints. It was a place to stay, you know, stay where I could sleep and get my rest and everything for work. And then from there, they sent me to a clean and sober living place residence. And then from there, I moved maybe a month and a half later, that I moved as an in-care home provider. Uh-huh. And I was there on 7th Avenue. You know, at the time, I had sued the sheriff department, and I won.
What did you win?
They settled out of court.
And what kind of settlement?
It was like $15,000, something close to there.
And you immediately bought a condo and moved into Sacramento.
I wish I could have. But no, what they did was the sheriff department, they retaliated. By the very next day, I got my money one day. The very next day, they, bam, kicked in my door.
I think we talked about, go ahead, tell me more about this.
About it.
Remind me.
But to make a long story short, basically they have been harassing me. I've lost 7 cars. Every time I obtain a car from a used car place, of course, or a junkyard, you know, one of them out of places, it'd be either living or the police would constantly harass me. I'd be unable to even really get it clear. They just took my Honda.
Now we should say you're a man with dreads and a dark skin.
Yes. Yes. I'm German and black. I'm married to my wife Christine, and Christine Parrish, you know, she's been having a rough time just being with me here. She's had a rough time overall, period. She's now all of a sudden has possessions, she has paraphernalia, and basically it was all mine. It was me. I got so depressed and everything, and I started indulging. I finally stopped, but 2 cases later, they tell me, well, you know, you got 2 cases now. So yeah, but I discharged parole. When I was on parole, my parole officer placed me into tent cities. At that time, they called them tent vouchers. They said that the tent vouchers would eventually change it to a housing voucher. That was 3 years ago. I discharged parole. We're going on year 4, and I'm still stuck here. So yeah, they have a real problem with it. They have more money and everything to, what's more important? Is it the people or is it the pavement on the streets? They're paving, you know, the roads and everything, and in which some places do deserve it. Some places need to have their streets fixed. They only got potholes and everything like that, and it's a danger itself, even for kids riding bicycles or whatnot. But yeah, they're putting funding in all of the places but the homeless. They're not doing nothing about it, and they could care less. They believe in that, well, if you can't afford to live here, then leave.
How are conditions in the Benchlands?
Oh, wow. They're rough.
Tell me about them. Have they changed at all? Or?
No, they haven't changed. I mean, you know, only changes are made is if the homeless themselves, when they make the changes to provide some type of comfort for themselves, if nothing more. But other than that, it's cold. You have rats galore. The rats now are, they're getting so big and they're so fat as to where they're actually starting to run and start charging towards people. So in retaliation, you know, homeless is doing what they're doing, and they're getting the pellet guns, and they're trying to kill the rats. And now it's a little war between pellet guns and rats.
You're going to have a rat barbecue, perhaps?
Oh, my God.
Make sure you don't mistake the police for the rats.
Yeah, but you know what? They need to do a whole bunch. They're doing everything it is to curb any growth. There's nothing that helps one to promote growth, you know, to stop the drug use. And then from there, you know, getting the people together. Really, the city needs to get people together so that way they can start hiring some of these people. If they get together and they self-own businesses, hire some of these people. And as far as the housing goes, the landlords, they want to put inside the papers and everything, the realtors and everything, not accepting housing vouchers at this time, or not accepting housing vouchers.
Do you have a housing voucher yourself?
Supposedly my wife is supposed to supposedly have one. We're still waiting for an advocate to come that's supposed to be our caseworkers and to help us find a place and everything. And that was last year when she obtained that. So we've been waiting for somebody, whoever's supposed to contact us. And she's been speaking to Alejandro and a few people that's down there at the Housing Matters. But it's like, you know, they've hindered, you know, us even more. The COVID-19, you know, that even hindered us.
Has there been much COVID here in the camp?
No, not that I've heard of. The only thing I've heard of, if anything, the people ODing on fentanyl.
And what percentage of the camp would you say is having problems with hard drugs?
From beginning to end. From the beginning to the end.
So you think it's a majority of folks, or?
Well, majority of everybody uses, it seems. And it's real, real difficult for those that do not use. You have to understand that, you know, you have a place where you have violence, you know, and it's due to the withdrawals of drugs that they can no longer afford or have because their money is gone, and the addiction, and it causes them to act violent or causes them to start stuff with other residents. And then, of course, that's disturbing, you know, the other residents.
And how have you and your neighbors gotten along in your particular section of the camp?
Oh, they stay clear away from me. It would get loud, and I would ask them. I say, hey, man, you know, look, man, allow some of these people to sleep. There's a few people that scattered around that do have jobs or whatever.
Do they respond?
They usually shut it down. So yeah, I have a history myself, you know, and I don't know. I help things, you know, to better itself. That's basically what I do. I try to keep the peace and whatnot, and I'm just a person that, you know, is surviving just like everybody else. I'm just trying to move from stages. You know, I'm not content with living in a tent. I don't need to have my wife live in a tent. Her mother and father is already, you know, mad because it's been 3 years and we don't have a place of residence yet. And, you know, they're Ukrainian. You know, my wife, she's Ukrainian. And
thinking of joining the Ukrainian army or...
Their type of army? Yes, I believe in that. I believe in revolution. I believe in it strongly because I'm deemed a political prisoner, you know, and everything that they've had on me from the beginning to end, they orchestrated basically my whole prisoner, so-called prison career, you know.
How long have you actually been in the actual bench labs?
Been where now?
How many months have you been in the bench labs? How many years?
Oh. Well, this round right here, since I paroled with 2018 is when I paroled, and then I discharged, you know, in 21.
So you came to the bench lands in 2021?
Yeah.
Has it changed much?
No, it's just gotten larger, bigger, more people coming. So they want to protect themselves, you know, and they say that this right here is deemed to look as an eyesore for the tourists. And you know, you have to understand that, you know, this is two summers that they didn't have no tourists, so they couldn't open up because of the COVID. This is the third summer right here. They finally get to open up, and they want to clear the streets of all the misfits, all the people that they don't feel should be walking around. They're tourists, you know, they want to clean up like that so they can, you know, obtain all the money that's so important to them. That is just, it's a shame, you know. It's already a tourist place. They already excel when it comes to the money. You have the wars, you know, seeing D-League down here, and, you know, you have the Santa Cruz Beach and Boardwalk, and people come through this place from all over the world, but every summer. And every summer, though, some people like it and they stay, and then they find out that they can't go home and they're stuck, and they become one of the residents of the homeless community. And, yeah.
So, I heard there was a fire incident a couple of nights ago. Do you have any information on that?
The tank blew up. He was utilizing the tank so to keep warm, and it blew up.
Did it, in fact, somebody got caught on fire and it injured the person? Is that accurate?
I'm not sure. I couldn't actually say.
I don't know either, so don't take my word for it. What about the... You have any of the police or Jeremy Leonard, you know, the guy who's hired by the city to look after or look into the camp? I'm not sure exactly what that would be involved with. Have they told you they want to? They're going to be moving people out soon.
They've been trying to move people out. What they did was they want to split everything up in sections. First, they moved people to Highway 9. Now that's filled up, so they started moving people to the Armory. Jeremy basically kind of runs that. Him and Chris do walk the camp from beginning to end. I would have to say that, you know, they're doing their jobs as far as making sure everything's all right, getting whatever information they can get from people. And then after that, you know, it's like that being done, they're satisfied with, you know, the majority of things. The other complaints are something they can't really, you know, just stop or whatnot. But I think that they're kind of just
stop
doing
the
what they're told, you know. They sweeping bad, you know. And it's real sad because the Armory right now is about filled up, and they won't be able to fit no more people. And you figure if from here all the way down to the last end, they want to crowd everybody and put everybody from this bridge right here that you can see to right here where we're at. So basically, you know, you want all those other tents to cram inside here. And, you know, I might have to say, too, people got bigger size tents than the average what they're given. Because you're given, you know, a small tent, but for two people, it's like outrageous. So it's like you can't in this heat and this summertime coming. So, you know, you want to try to cool off. You want to try to expand. So they expand their tents and you use tarps and whatnot to expand it. But it's still more space. It has more of a home feel to it. I mean, they're getting anything that they can get for free or that's laying around, couches, you know, beds, you know, so they can sleep comfortably and they don't have to worry about rats running on top of them at nighttime. It's getting real, real, real bad here, especially with, you know, all the...
How's mutual theft as a problem, and how have you dealt with it, if it's affected you?
Oh, it affected me. They went into my tent and stole some stuff. You know, it's, if you don't have nobody watching your tent, then there's people that's brave enough and daring enough to go inside those tents and steal what they sell. We just got married, and they took our marriage, the file that had our marriage certificate and everything in it, and important files and stuff. So, I mean, you know, right now, me and my lady's looking at becoming victims of IDF, you know,
ID theft.
You know, and so, you know, just to tighten up and just do whatever it is that we can, you know, survive it. I just wish that they would start actually housing the people.
Now, you'd like to, you've had me sign your name up for this idea for a lawsuit, which, as I've told you, I'm not in any way qualified to or prepared to initiate. But other encampments and other places in California and, as you know, in Santa Cruz have gotten injunctions. You were telling me about it when we started talking. The injunction that they got for this campground expired in July of last year, but the city decided, I presume, it didn't know what the fuck to do, so they left people here. And, of course, now they started shoving everybody into this area from all the other encampments throughout the city. But I'm a concern because I've heard different rumors, although I've got no indication of a date, that they're trying, that there's a plan to eliminate this encampment, mainly because the city manager, Matt Huffaker, has stated before city council that he intends to have the encampment, he calls it demobilized, by the end of the summer. But he also states this will depend upon conditions, so he has all these caveats. What's your sense about how likely it is that the city is going to move, and how much of how much concern is it to you? I'm going to throw three questions at you. And also, are you interested in this idea of a lawsuit?
Well, something needs to be done, because the city council, they're deflecting any form of rebuttal. I guess maybe they have the individuals that's not really speaking on the primary issues that's at hand. But if they were to get together, the only thing that's going to make this work is for them to get together to have sign-ups for people that, once they're in place and they get started, do one procedure or another. Those you're willing to clean up, and they go through a dry-out period, get cleaned up, that they're immediately housed in some form of shelter. And from that shelter, they get an opportunity now to stay well-groomed, eat, sleep. Now they can go out and look for jobs. If these people start hiring some of these people and they come together as a whole, then that's going to save a lot, because a lot of these people are willing to work. You know, where you have, you know, the majority that doesn't want to, you have a good, healthy group of people that would like to work. If they're given the job and then being able to have a place to stay, that's going to not only house them homeless people, you know, now they're on the right track, because they're able to, now they know the need of working and then having coming home to a place to live.
I got you. What, from your contacts with police, social service workers, other campers, and just your general sense, what are the chances of this camp being left alone through the fall, and what are the chances that people are going to face eviction at the end of the summer?
I do believe that they're going to try to do something to actually get the people out, but the injunction is what it is. They're unable to kick anybody up out of here if they do not have a place to put them, and that means all the homeless, not just one people. You know, if they want to get to airport, like they were saying, in Watsonville, and house everybody there in that encampment right there and make it an encampment, then that's something different, because that's moving everybody up out of here and moving them all to another place. They can do that. But if they don't do nothing like that broad, then this place is going to stay. At the end of the month, it's going to start getting cold. You're going to have the weather, you know, and it's just going to get worse. And they're not doing nothing to house the homeless, period.
Is there a need, if what you say is true, although this is, I would say, not the place I'd like to live in, and probably you neither if you had any choices here. but still, it's a place to go where presumably you get a small amount of privacy some of the time, and you also have a place to keep your stuff so you don't have to carry it around with you all the time. Is it likely, do you think, that they're going to try to remove this encampment? I guess you're saying no because of Boise versus Martin. But you may also know, or maybe you don't.
Of course, it's going to shove. They'll eventually just try to get you up out of here, just like they're moving everybody in closer. They came and they moved us from up underneath the bridge, and because of the heat, some of us that, you know what I'm saying, you know, got the heat problems, or they get heat stroke, of course, and they move you out now into the sun, and they're
pushing. So you were under the bridge recently?
Well, I was up underneath the bridge, and they had us move last week sometime. They made us move.
How long had you been living under the bridge?
Since they started it.
Which was?
Ooh. Well, I've been here 3 years now.
So, but you were living under the bridge for 3 years?
No, I moved underneath the bridge at the beginning of this year. You know, I knew summer was coming.
This is a community of how many people would you say were under the bridge?
Oh, at the time, there was like 15 of us. About 15.
And this happened a couple weeks ago. You were getting, no notices were posted.
We got notices. They gave us. They did everything correctly. It was just the people that, you know, you either, you know, got your property and values, and you took them and you moved them, or they were going to get bulldozed over. You know, they're going to take it and trash it, and that's what they did.
Was everyone given a spot here, or did you have to kind of find your own spot?
Find your own spot. Jeremy was kind enough that he knew a spot, and he told my wife about it, so she went and got that spot. So, yes, most definitely.
Here's the second one for you, if you want it.
Right now, I have to put some quarters in this meeting, inside this meter. I have to put quarters in there because I've got
tickets already. Let me give you some quarters to put in my meter, too, if you're up for it.
No problem.
All right, and we've been talking with?
Thomas Parrish.
Thanks, Thomas. I'm talking with?
Lauren Buford Stevens IV.
And Lauren, you're outside yourself?
It's Pounds for Fun, yeah. Pounds for Fun, LBS for you.
You're in the Benchlands or elsewhere?
No, sir. I'm up in the mountains, probably on somebody's property. And I try to keep it good. Like, the skunks come in, I feed the skunks. I don't know if that's good or bad for the landowners.
Do they stink back or not?
No, they did. I squirt one time with a water gun, and it looked at me like,
What the hell are you doing? Where's your stinky?
Whoa, don't squirt me, and I won't squirt you ever again, I promise. They haven't yet, but I give them like...
How long have you lived there?
Probably like 4 months.
And this is on private property or public?
I don't know. I think it's private.
Have police or deputies attempted to move you?
There's no... Dude, where I live, it's like you got to go up like a hill. You got to go up like
pretty
this.
Steep.
Yeah, there's no... I mean, I've invited people there. They only come once. And there's only been one couple that showed up twice. Because it's gnarly to get where I'm at, so.
So, why aren't you in a luxury apartment, Lauren?
You know, I got two mayoral awards, one from Texarkana and one from Houston. And sometimes I wondered that myself. Because not many people have mayoral awards.
We got more flyers here, man.
But I'm civic-minded. And that's what I think the civic-minded people are left shorthanded and under everything when you're civic minded, because you know you got to take care of the bottom person before you get, the higher we get the bottom, the higher the top gets, man. You know, that's how I feel. And like, I'm, let's say I have anger issues, so I'm not a priest, because that's a big no-no with God, his anger. I don't think a priest should drive I don't think a priest or a pastor or anybody should drive a Cadillac before everybody in their congregation is driving a Cadillac.
Dig it. Now, I heard you say something to Jeremy Leonard, who's the kind of...
Yeah, he's a kick-ass guy.
Superintendent fellow, positive, but you also were concerned about... What exactly is your sense of what's missing and what's required?
You know, all I can suggest is read or watch Forks Over Knives. It's a documentary, and it's a book, too. Read it. It's all by doctors who actually give a shit about you and your health and about the human body, because that's what they went into it for, not just a fucking big farm, fucking let's make some golf money bullshit.
So you've had positive experiences with Jeremy.
Oh, I love Jeremy. Yeah, totally. And I'm a positive person. I mean, he's a good guy. He's doing the best he can. I know that. I can feel it from him.
I often find police officers are good guys, but when they're in the police force, they're not so good. That's the problem.
Well, you know what? You know, I have many friends that are police officers, and I love them. And they, you know what? It's hard. It's hard to be
it's
a police officer.
It's hard when they shoot people down dead, and then they cover it up. I mean, it's very hard. But frankly, I want to see that change before I'm concerned about the individual officer. So
train them.
Can you train individuals in a Nazi regime not to be Nazis?
No, sir.
You can't.
Let me tell you something. Only in the high risk places do you find when someone's going to run around with a chicken like a chicken with their head cut off, or if they're going to knock, if they're going to do business. Like, let's say somebody's arm got cut off.
Let's not argue about the police, because I'm more interested in the outside situation.
We're not talking about the police.
I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
People in general, and police can be involved in that. Totally, police can be involved in that. But dude, when the shit hits the fan, dude, 90% of the people are running around with chickens with their head cut off.
Well, my concern is that
20% of the people.
My concern, Lauren. My concern is that people who are militarized, as the police are. Wait, people who are militarized have a very specific. It's their training. The thing that you're suggesting might be helpful that actually turns them into a robotized machine that murders. That murders people, and therefore that much. Your love and your caring for individual police officers. I would commend you insofar as they're off duty, but once they're on duty, come on.
It is a switch. It is a switch when you get on duty and off duty. But, you know, it's like,
Incidentally, do you want to join a lawsuit about stopping the demolition of this camp? Because that's really what we're talking about.
You know, yes, sir, I would. Because you know what? Hey, I'm a homeless guy, too. I got 2 male awards. I kick ass. I do a bunch of stuff. I got broke. I'm just broke down. And okay.
Well, let me write down your info, and we'll contact you if we actually ever start this stupid lawsuit.
Well, you know, I might give you a couple arguments.
She...
Kevin, Lauren. Lauren, Kevin.
Lauren, hi. All right.
So, let me give you the last word, Lauren, because I want to write down your information before we all dissipate here.
The last word is love. Just love each other. And there will be no fucking lawsuits. There will be nothing. Look after motherfuckers, you know? Be a good lookout. Like, oh, you need water? Here's some water. Fuck. That's all I gotta say. Love.
Carry you to freedom.
And that was from the early years of the Weavers, which was a, what are you going to call them, a commie group, a lefty group. Well, the name of their album, or at least this disc, was called Wasn't That a Time, and that, of course, is the old black spiritual Follow the Drinking Gourd from Vanguard, and from a concert at Carnegie Hall in 1955, of course, sung by an all-white crew. I don't know if there's any blacks into Carnegie Hall much in those good old days, you know, the good old days. So, back to the good old Benchland days. Again, going to the 25th of July at the Huff table, signing people up who wanted to, be plaintiffs in a lawsuit and get literature and spread the information around and maybe get a little solidarity among the folks who are being kicked around, kicked about, and kicked out. Talking with Kevin. And Kevin, you did some flyering here in the camp over the last half hour. And what did you encounter that struck you? Hopefully nobody struck you, but what did you encounter?
Anything outstanding that... Yeah, the police out standing around doing nothing.
You noted that. Did you have conversations with the officers other than nasty comments?
No, not other than... Yeah. No, I was pretty well behaved, and you got to be careful because they can roll your ass up and, you know, if they choose to. So you're too much smart aleck.
Did you learn anything new that you didn't know before in the course of your journey?
No. I'm not... I got not much to offer. It's just sort of like, the camp, you know, as it appeared to, I don't know if I learned, but I'll see this place get cleaned up, and then in a day or so, all the crap starts to come out into the center aisle down through here.
Well, there are 200 people here. I mean, good grief.
Yeah, probably more.
I mean, if there were a boardwalk, it would be even worse.
People to pick stuff up or not make a more mess. So it gets cleaned up, and then the mess appears again, and cleaned up, and then the mess is just...
It's a trip because I feel like sometimes they go out, and they venture out, and they bring all their crap here.
Yeah. Say that again?
Before it hits the dumps, I think a lot of the people go out, and they gather it, and they bring it here.
And
it's a pack rat's heaven down here, my dear. It is a pack rat's heaven down here.
You know, when you're insecure, when you feel like you don't have, Yes. When you don't have much, you're afraid you're going to lose it all. You gather to you anything that might be of use and comfort, and then, you know, it builds up, as I well know. I'm indoors, so I can afford to have a lot of stuff. But I noticed some places are very neat and together and secure. They have little fences around. They have flowers and plants and garden. We didn't make it all the way to the inn, but handed out as many flyers as I could. Uh-huh. You know, and I ran out of flyers, but...
This is Gloria talking. She and Kevin, who you heard previously, were distributing flyers about what to do when the social service people and the police come and say, would you like a nice place in a city-run campground out in the so-called, the Lookout campground? The Look-See, Look and you might find, whatever it is called up there in the Poganip area. Well, it's the Pogolands or the Apollo Lands or near where the armory is. And the answer is to say neither yes nor no until you really know what the situation is. If you say yes, then if that's what you want, you get to go there. The problem is that there are numerous difficulties with a containment camp, such as the city-run encampment up at the Lookout is. It's got curfews, it's got visitor bans, it's got can't walk in. It's got numerous problems that normal adults in normal lodgings don't face. And it's also got very limited storage. So you may have to, you know, maybe be willing to accept that. But if you're not, why not just say no? Well, the answer is if you say no, then you may be written down as service resistant. And then they said, well, we offered them a place, but they didn't want it. Therefore, we can just kick them out and send them to jail if they don't leave, which... I fear maybe the strategy, but again, it's my fears. I have no secret documents to reveal yet around this issue. Anyway, here's more. Anybody you encountered that gave you any new interesting information?
People didn't want to converse very much. That's how I was impressed that they didn't. Some of them were willing to take flyers and even appreciative of them, which is good. And I'm not sure where Greg's tent is or...
Yeah, I can show it to you if I get the energy to walk. Just stick that sign under the table, Bruce. Yeah. It's okay.
I was trying to figure out how... Hi, I'm Bruce. I just sat down here and... I was trying to, my purpose in life is to fix things, I'd have to say. I like to make things better. Everything, kind of like...
Closer you guys got to exchange. You got to shield it. No,
shield. Okay. Hi, this is Bruce once again. I just stepped in. I'm Santa Cruz local, yada, yada, yada. Where are you from? Okay, anyways. what I was getting at is lots of things in life you buy and they're, quote, stock. They're for the general public. They're made in one way, and then you have to modify it for your own custom usage. That's just a little thing that I think about, along with always think of fashion before function. Sorry, I have a little bit of a, like, speech problem because I got my head squished under a car about 15 years ago, and it was supposed to pop like a grape, but it didn't. Anyways, it caused me to, like, kind of slur my words a little bit. I did quit drinking, but I slur all the time now. Anyways, so with that said, I also have ADHD, and I forget things a lot. I'm here to make, I like to make people happy. And sometimes it works in mysterious ways. Like, suppose I'm walking down the street and some fucking asshole, like, drops a dime, drops a proverbial, you know, it's 50 cents now. They call the cops on me about something because they think, okay, well, I don't like the looks of that guy and I want to get him in trouble with a passive aggressive assault. It might make me upset, but you know what? I've done my job, because my purpose in life is to make people happy, so I just made that person happy. It works in mysterious ways sometimes. I'll be talking a little bit more in the future, maybe less, probably more, though. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Bruce, anything more you wish to say to me as well?
Thinking out loud!
Nicely put, and loudly put, I might add. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, I am a lonely and a lonesome traveler. I am a lonely and a lonesome traveler. Well, I am a lonely and a lonesome traveler. I've been a traveling on. I travel here and then I travel yonder. Well, I travel here and then I travel yonder. Well, I travel here and then I travel yonder. Well, I've been a traveling on.
I've traveled cold and then I've
traveled hungry. Well, I've traveled cold and then I travel hungry. Well, I've traveled cold and then I travel hungry. Well, I've been a traveling on.
Traveled in the mountain, traveled
down in the valley. Well, I traveled in the mountain, traveled down in the valley. Well, I traveled in the mountain, traveled down in the valley. Well, I've been a traveling on.
I've traveled with the rich,
traveled with the poor, traveled with the rich, traveled with the poor, traveled with the rich, traveled with the poor. I've been a traveling on.
One of these days I'm gonna
stop all my traveling. Oh, one of these days I'm gonna stop all my traveling. Oh, one of these days I'm gonna stop all my traveling. Stop all this traveling.
I'm gonna keep right on a traveling on the road to freedom. Gonna keep right on a traveling on the road to freedom. Gonna keep right on a traveling on the road to freedom. Gonna keep right on a traveling.
And the Weavers got a lot of applause for Follow the Drinking Gourd. That was 1955 at Carnegie Hall, which I hope I haven't, I'm not repeating myself here. So now I'm going to play a bit of the conversation I had today with a man who does not want to be known as, I guess he ultimately identified himself as X. His camp, his tent, and that of his two fellows, and the adjacent camp were both bulldozed over their objections by the by apparently a bulldozer and the police, and appeals to Jeremy Leonard apparently did not, or were not successful. So that, you're going to hear a little bit about that, a rather angry tale, rather strong statement from this guy. And then we are kind of out of time. I'm going to play a kind of an older flashback from June of 1995. And that's going to conclude the show for July 28th, 2022. And we'll pick it up on Sunday, I hope, with more interviews from the Benchlands and who knows what else. But I'd hope to put in more today, but I just couldn't do both the Huff meeting, the Benchlands, and this netcast. So at least not to my satisfaction, but we do what we can. So listen in and take what you can away from it. Did you guys see the demolition crew here?
Yeah, they just demoed my friend's place.
Tell me about it. I'm with Free Radio. What happened?
They said that he stole something on the west side, and he doesn't even steal. He helps everybody make bikes.
That's just the comment they made while they were doing it. But he just came in. First, we get told by Jeremy that everything looks good, man. Thanks, good job cleaning up. And 3 minutes later, cops come in my canopy and is like, oh, trying to go. And I'm like, trying to go for what?
Yeah.
And they're talking about, we gave you guys three-week notice. No, they didn't give us no three-week notice.
So we're talking with, if you want to say...
I'm the person who's camp they demolished.
And how many folks were living in your camp?
One, two, three, four, five people.
And you say Jeremy Leonard came and spoke to you before?
Yeah, he spoke to us 3 minutes before bulldozing, telling us we did a good job cleaning and picking up. We go through this every week with the little orange flyers that leave on your stuff, on your property. And those flyers basically telling you to fix whatever they've marked down as a problem. And so every week we fix the problem, there's no problem. But for some reason today, it just, I don't know, it seemed like they was up to something else. It seemed like they had a different mission. Like they was all pissed off. My friend told him that it's not right. And next you know, they're like asking her name, telling her, well, we're going to run you for warrants. And then yelling at her to sit down and all this wild stuff.
How many
unnecessary
cops?
Stuff. A lot. About at least six. Definitely at least six.
And how many cars did you see? Or were there cars here?
Were there cars parked up there on the levee? It was like four police cars.
Was this different than the usual police raid or the police presence?
Way different, because usually when they bulldoze people's stuff, they bulldoze the areas that obviously have been vacated. Nobody's living in them. And usually they come and they'll, if you have access to too much stuff, they'll tell you, hey, set aside stuff that you want to get rid of. And we do. But today, they didn't give us no nothing. They just came in and told us, time to go. We're going to take your shit down. And I'm like, and they didn't leave no notice. They left no kind of notice for us.
Did you notice the names of the cops?
I'm not going to say the names of the cops. They know who they are.
So you could see who they were, but you prefer not to say.
Yeah, no need for me to say. It don't really matter. Say the name all day. They're still going to do what they do.
And was any other tent other than yours removed?
Yeah, another neighbor of mine who, I'm not going to say his name, but he's not here, but his canopy along with my canopy were taken down, and everything basically in this area right here was wiped away.
So would you say that
anything? They left the ripped up tent right there that nobody's occupying. They left that one up. That thing, you don't even have, the door missing on that one.
Now, did they use a bulldozer?
Yeah, they used a bulldozer. Yep. Smashed up all the bikes right here.
There's quite a pile of bikes. How many bikes would you estimate are here?
They're not even complete bikes. They're just bike frames. Frames and tires.
Looking at the tires, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I'd say at least maybe 15 or 20.
Yeah, close to that. So I wouldn't say close to 20. I'd say more like 10 to 15 range.
Uh-huh. And how long have you lived here?
At least over a year and a half. Been here for a while.
How has it treated you generally?
I've had no problems. No. Every time they've had a complaint about something, we fix it. I mean, that's what you do. If you got a problem about something, you let a person know about it. It's up to them to fix it. We fixed it.
Last time you had a complaint was...
It's been a while.
You mentioned that there was...
They leave orange papers on people's campsites letting them know that, hey, this and that's wrong, needs to be fixed before this is such a date.
Now, did you tell me that they were... They had originally left something on the campsite today? They didn't. Nothing.
No. They didn't leave no notice. They come on Mondays, and that's when they drop the orange flyers on people's camp. Yesterday, somebody noticed the orange thing posted on one of the tents, that wasn't there the day before or the morning before. I mean, of that morning. So I don't know if they came over to sneaking it on there. I'm sorry, sneaking it on there or whatnot. But when they came in, I told him, we didn't get no notice. And he's got a orange, ripped up orange paper in his hand, talking about, yeah, he got one right here. And I'm like, yeah, well, what was that at? I don't recall nobody coming by and leaving no kind of notice. We would have been fixed whatever you said to fix. He's like, well, that was it. There was nothing to fix. We were bulldozing your shit regardless. I'm like, oh, okay. So why leave me a notice then? Because that's what you're saying. What's the point of leaving me a notice? And he's like, oh, so you can get your shit and get out. I was like, yeah, well, you might want to hand the notices off to the people instead of sticking it on their tents and all that shit, because nobody notices that, especially with all this wind blowing. That shit could fly away anywhere.
So, was Jeremy Leonard hearing all of this, or was he gone by then?
No, he was way down the other side of the field, and I went to go talk to him. He said he'd be here in a minute, but he didn't get here in time. He took his sweet time.
So you asked for Jeremy's help in stopping them, and he didn't help?
Yeah, he didn't show up to stop them. When I came back down here, that's when he started up the bulldozer and started dragging and smashing and doing what they do.
Did the police say, or the bulldozer guys, whoever they were, say they would wait for Leonard, but Leonard didn't show? Or no,
they didn't say anything other than, get your shit and let's go. They didn't even tell us to get our shit. We weren't even allowed to get our shit. When we asked if we can get our stuff, one cop said, yeah, hurry up. He didn't even say, yeah, he just said, hurry up. And the other cop said, nope.
How much of your stuff were you able to get a hold of?
I was able to grab a few things, but what you see on me right now is all I got, just one pair of clothes.
So it looks like a pair of shoes, pairs of pants.
Yeah.
And you got a bag in your hand.
Which
and
was given me by the gentleman. I didn't get this from my...
This is Whiskers, right?
My stash. Huh? No, Whiskers is next door to me.
How's he doing?
Well, lucky for him, there was so much shit that they pulled from mine that they didn't have enough room to do his, so he gets to last another week. But he said they're going to come back next week and do it all over again. But from what I hear, they're going to bulldoze everybody that's on this side of those staircases over there.
Where did you hear that?
It's been going around. They're not publicly announcing it. They're secretly doing it.
Did Leonard say that to you?
No.
Did any of the cops say that to you?
No. It was overheard in the conversation that they were having one day. They were standing over there behind those trees, and somebody nearby camp overheard them talking about...
Them being the police.
Yeah, the police and Jeremy. They said basically they're going to start... chopping down camps all the way up to the first staircase. I'm not sure why, because inside of this sign, this sign right here, it's San Lorenzo Park. This is inside the park. So why chop down anything inside the park? It don't make sense. They said we're supposed to be here till in the August, and we're not at the end of August yet, and they're already bulldozing people's camps.
Did you ever get an assurance from either Leonard or the cops that they would not come until August?
We didn't get nothing. We got no warning, no insurance of anything. They just came, almost like they just kicked them door in and said, get the fuck out, because that's what they did. I was sitting on my couch, and they just came in, said my name, and told me to get out. And I'm like, for what? And he's like, oh, we left notices for 3 weeks. No, they didn't. There's no such thing as 3 week notice. They give us 3 days, but they don't give us 3 week notice.
So this affected how many men and how many women?
Five people.
I saw one woman, at least three or four men?
More like three women and two or three dudes. Three women and two dudes.
I know if you're African American. Anything racist?
I'm Irish. I'm not African.
You may be Irish, but you look black.
No, I'm red. If you see me straightly, I'm red.
Well, you're darker than I am.
Yeah, but I'm not African American. I'm Irish.
I believe. But your accent has disappeared, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you. I never had an accent because...
You've got an American accent, man.
That's what you want to call it.
That's how it sounds.
I'm a native. This is where I originate from, so...
Dig it. I'm Robert, by the way.
Robert, okay. I'm X. Call me X.
I'll call you X.
Thank you.
That's exactly what I'm going to call you.
Thank you.
Yes, certainly.
And I'm not hiding nothing, you know, it's not the reason why I don't state my name. My name ain't important. What's important is that this shit right here stop. That's what's important.
You know,
if you see me, I ain't mad about nothing. I mean, if anything, they did me a favor. That's a lot of shit to get rid of anyway, but still, it's just the principle. It's how you go about doing things. You just sit there and come up to people and just tell them to get the fuck out. Like, a lot of these things, a lot of these tents and all this stuff, people built this shit. Like, I built the canopy. I didn't go to the store and buy it. I built it. I did that with by my hands, my own hands. So it's not like we just lazily doing things here. We living like we're supposed to live. It's not our fault that they got us living in the park. I'd rather go live in the mountain. But they don't want us to do that either. Even though that mountainside is left for us. It was given to the people. And they just slowly, you know, doing things the way they want to do it. And it's cool. I mean, we're going to make some noise about it, of course, because being quiet about it ain't going to get nothing changed. Ain't nothing going to change from doing that. But getting mad and getting all ruckus about it, nah, that ain't going to change nothing either. They expecting that. I don't want to do nothing that anybody expect me to do. Nope. So they looking for, like, some kind of mad or enraged reaction. They didn't get it. So I'm not sure what they was after today, but they didn't get it.
They want you to run, I think.
I'm not going to run. It's my home. I got to go nowhere. They don't like it, they can leave. That's how I see it. I ain't tell them to leave. I ain't tell them to run. But I'll be damned, I'm going to run. I ain't going nowhere. It's open terrain, man. Everybody is welcome to be here that belong here. Anybody that don't belong here, they can get ghosts. By their own accord or, hey, powers that be.
About what time did this start to happen? Do you have any sense of that?
I don't pay attention to time. I don't carry watches or nothing. Time don't exist to me. It don't. It's the same day, every day.
I got an old watch, so. So, your estimate is only 2/10 were taken down?
2/10 were taken down, but a couple of the tents that were in very good shape to be used were thrown in the pile, so.
So there were two tents that were occupied were taken down.
Yeah.
How many people in the other tent would you say had to be impacted by that?
Three people in the first one and two people in the second one.
And other tents, two others were taken down that were just unoccupied at the moment?
They weren't unoccupied. They were brand new tents that hadn't even been opened at the package yet. They just happened to be sitting in the wheelbarrow and they just dumped all that stuff. They didn't let us grab nothing. Even when I'm telling them, hey, can I grab my tent? They're saying no. And they're telling us any type of, make any kind of noise or any act of rebellion, going to jail. They threaten us with jail, which I know they legally can't do that either. Can't threaten nobody, send somebody to jail for something they ain't done.
It's called bullying.
Yeah, it's bullying. Telling me that I can't speak up or say nothing. My friends sat there and let it be known that what they doing ain't right. And they want to go search her name for warrants. She ain't done nothing. They don't have probable cause for all that.
She was the woman we spoke with originally.
Did she?
I don't know. You would know. I don't know.
I didn't see anybody talking to anybody. But I do know that they kicked her out of the park for 24 hours for basically nothing.
Was that done by the cops or by Jeremy?
By the cops. So she's banned for 24 hours. Not sure why. I didn't get a chance to ask her. She just had to basically leave.
Did they give her any documents or did they just verbally say that?
They probably verbally told her. I don't think they gave her verbally. I mean, you don't get banned for nowhere for 24 hours. That's ridiculous.
I mean, they didn't sign anything and said, get out of here.
No, they just told her, yeah. They just want her out of there because obviously she's basically letting it be known that they're going against protocol and what they're supposed to do. You know, cops don't want to hear about that.
Did you see anybody videoing or keeping a record of this who were supporters of the folks in the camp?
I've seen some people videotaping, but I mean, all that stuff to me really don't really matter, man, because they already expect us to do that stuff. That don't stop them from what they're doing. We need to do something to stop them from doing that shit they do. All this bullying shit, we need to do something about that. Because, I mean, videotaping it and making a public scene and going to media, that shit has never worked. It's never done nothing. Real talk, it's done nothing but give a bunch of people hope. And that hope...
False hope?
Yeah, false hope. That's why I don't buy into none of that.
Any suggestions for the next resistance?
Maybe some more people banding together or something and standing in front of the bulldozer might work. I don't know. What are you going to do, run us over? Oh, I don't know. Maybe a more public broadcasting of everything and then, yeah, the whole world wouldn't like that. I mean, again, the world don't know what's going on. They're too busy getting mind fucked by shit in the news and shit in the media that ain't even real.
We're going to hear more of this on Sunday, hopefully. So next comes the flashback, which I'm not going to describe at the moment, but I'm hoping to post a description of it on the Huff Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom website at Huff, H-U-F-F, Santa Cruz, all one word, Huff Santa Cruz, all small letters, .org, and then just look for the full blog, and you'll be able to find a description of it. I'm sorry this is so rushed, as I said before, but that's what we got. We're going to go back now to June 12th, 1995. And I think this is only part of the show. This was actually, let's see, only a month or two after we began broadcasting Free Radio Santa Cruz from our illegal but potent transmitter. Not that potent, actually, but a lot of people were working on that station in the early months, and it was quite a project, and there was quite a lot of information coming in and going out. Anyway, this was my show, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, as it's called today, and here's a bit from the past for you. So listen in and keep your eye on the benchlands in 2022. Be prepared to come down, witness, assist, hopefully try to stop the unconstitutional and illegal clearing of the benchlands, not to mention inhumane and cruel clearing, and perhaps also jeopardizing the health and safety of the community, the broader community, even the housed community. So, talk at you on Sunday. If you got questions or comments, contact me on the Huff line, 831-423-4833. That's my phone number. Also a message phone for Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.